Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
And turn with us this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 4. And I'll read as quickly as possible, but I want to read the whole chapter. Joshua chapter number 4. That's in those clean white pages toward the front of your Bible. I believe there's a word from God in this text. So you pray for us. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. The children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over and with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bare the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and all the people hasted and passed over. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And these 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? And ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. Verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray you would open this to us. May our hearts rejoice in its truth, be encouraged by it, but also set in action for it. Help us to be obedient to this now as we ask earnestly for your voice, for your direction, for the unction of your spirit. For we ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking this past week about a new year coming, and was kind of glad to kind of get this year behind us, I was reminded the fact that it's not really moving a year behind us that makes a difference. Things will go on, as everyone knows, on December 31st into January 1st, just stating unless the Lord comes first, things will be just as they were. The only thing that changes ultimately is our attitudes or our commitments or, as some want to say, resolutions. I don't put a lot of stock in them because, for the most part, what people vow anymore are not really commitments, right? If we really took serious the vows of that we make to one another or make to God, we'd recognize the importance of keeping them. But it seems a moot point. However, what did come to me was what God told Joshua to instruct the children of Israel to do when he did a miracle for them. So, for context, Moses was gone, and the leadership of the children of Israel had been placed upon Joshua. Now, Joshua, for certain, was a leader, a compassionate shepherd of the sheep. Moses, God had given the law to, and Moses brought that law. But here we find something different than the lawgiver. We find a shepherd, a savior, a battle leader. And that's who Joshua was. If in the Old Testament, the name was Joshua. In the New Testament, the name is Jesus. Jesus means Joshua, or vice versa. So we find today that there's certainly a connection between Joshua and what he did for the people of Israel. But having said that, I want to share this thought with you today. Two things. What God instructed Israel, God instructed Joshua to do for Israel was to pick from each tribe of the children of Israel a man. And so there was a representative available, 12 men, one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And what God had instructed him, he was to tell them. And so he did. He prepared these 12 men. They picked each man, a man from each tribe, and Joshua brought them together, and he instructed them of what God had instructed him. And it was this, that as the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord, as they stepped their feet into the overflowing banks of the Jordan River, as they stepped their feet into it, it automatically was cut off. Everything from there flowed down, disappeared, while a great heap, it says in the scripture, began to rise up of water. Everything that was coming down, it stopped at that very place where the people, the priests of God who were bearing the word of God, stepped into the water. It stopped. It was obviously a miracle of proportions that no one else could measure, right? The people of Jericho seen or heard of this, and they all quaked. They feared because they recognized that the God of everything was helping Israel. We find here as the priests went down into the middle of Jordan, the Bible said God had dried it up. And as the priests walked with the Ark of the Covenant down into the middle of Jordan, what God had instructed them to do was to stop in the middle of this river. And there they stood on the dry bed of this large and vast river with an enormous amount of water right on their side there that God had held back and was holding. And the Bible said as they stood there, The scripture said those 12 men were to go down into the middle of Jordan, and they were to pick them up each a stone. Now, I don't believe we're talking about a rock, something that you could hold in your hand or carry in your pocket. What he said was, is you're to put it on your shoulder, indicating to me that this stone was very large. Each one of them was, I believe, to grab a stone that they could carry on their shoulder. Now, if anybody knows about carrying things, your shoulder's a good place to put it. I carry sacks of feed on my shoulder all the time. Why? Because you can just lay it up there and walk right along. It's a whole lot easier. But you can carry a whole lot more weight that way. I believe there was something to that. And I want to talk to us. There's two different parts to this. And I'll try my best to get into it. But we have a responsibility to set up some things that are a memorial. Not for me, but for him. God gave them a responsibility, and I find it extraordinary that he laid upon these men the responsibility. Pick one man from each tribe. Therefore, that made it personal. For every tribe, there was to be a representative, and that representative was to carry one of these large rocks from the bottom of the river, from that dry place that God had dried up for the children of Israel. A miracle of all miracles that they were experiencing. And as the priests of God stood at the bottom of that enormous wall of water that went up behind them, and they held the word of God in their hand, they held the Ark of the Covenant, what God was saying was, "Is Joshua, I want you to never forget what I do for my people. I want you to remember and establish for all time and for everyone coming after you that there is a God that loves his people. There is a God that never leaves his people. There is a God that provides for his people." And he said, "I want you this very day to establish for my people, for those that will come after you, I want you to establish a memorial that will forever bring glory unto me and will remind your people that I am their God." Now they did that. They went down in there, each man. And I thought to myself, I would have liked to have been one of those men. One of those men that was a representative of his family, a representative of his people. May I say to you today that I believe there are representatives of families here. I believe every man, every father, every grandfather, I believe we have a responsibility that every day of our life we pay attention to those places that God leads us into. We pay attention to those opportunities that we have. When we can grab a hold of something, it might be heavy, it might be a burden, it might be something you have to shoulder, but may I ask you today, amen, to commit yourself to doing the things that are hard, that you might establish a memorial for your children, for their children, for their children, that when they see these things, they're willing to ask the question, what does this mean? And in effect, when they hear and ask this question, that there's an answer to it. There's something that directs the glory to God. There is something that illuminates that there is a God that we serve and that we follow. I thought of a lot of different stones that have been erected in my life. Things that I didn't create. Things that I didn't shoulder. Things that I didn't bear. But someone bore them for me. May I say to you today, the building that you're sitting in, someone else built. I had nothing to do with it. I saw it remodeled and I saw those that worked on it and all of those things. But the foundation that you're standing or sitting on, the very benches that are supporting you this morning, the walls that are here, the roof above us, all of these things, someone else did for you. Amen. Someone believed enough in God to say that there needs to be a church on 6 Mile Road. There needs to be a light in this community that'll ever go out and shine.
Amen. There needs to be a place that is dedicated unto God. And when people ride up and down this road, passing by the hundreds every day, when they look at this place, I hope they're saying, what does that place really mean? What does that place represent? What is it all about? Well, somebody was willing to shoulder the burden, to carry the load, to lay a stone for God, that there would be something to declare the glory of God to generations to come. Now, I don't know how many of these that I have erected in my own life, but I pray that when I'm dead and gone, that there'll be times when somebody will come across something. Maybe my old Bible. Somebody will pick it up. A grandchild. A great-grandchild. A great-great-grandchild will get this old book. And they'll be able to open it up. And they'll see the marks in it. They'll see the stains of tears in it. They'll see the margins full of notes. Amen. And they'll begin to say, what is this about? And they'll know that there was something greater. And it wasn't about me. And it wasn't about you. But it was about the God of this Bible. It was about the Lord that has saved you and I and delivered us out of our affliction. Something that will last. I think about the stones that have been erected in my life by grandparents who now are all gone. And yet each year I'm reminded of some things, especially as Christmas rolls around. I'm reminded that there are legacies that are still intact. There are traditions that are still being kept. And when one says, what does these mean? What do these traditions represent? What are they all about? Amen. It's a reminder to me that it wasn't necessarily the extraordinary nature of that person, but it's about their God. Why they did what they did was because of their God. And I believe that God was saying to Joshua, it's personal. Let every family pick a man. And let that man be a representative. And let that representative go down into the midst of Jordan. And when he gets to the bottom of that deep river, he's going to find a bunch of rocks laying around there. Be careful what you set up for him. Be careful that what you grab ain't going to be washed away. When the water comes rushing through of your life, be careful that the things in your life have been evaluated and that what you choose is something that'll last for your children and their children, something that'll be set up as a memorial that brings glory to God. Amen. Here's what I can tell you. All the vacations you ever gone on, those things won't be what are lasting. That's not what they'll remember. But there are some things that will forever reside in my mind as stones, rocks, pillars that were set for me. The faithfulness of my own parent who served God and did so. One man said it like this, I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. I thank God for that. Amen. For a faithfulness of a man and a woman who'll commit themselves, regardless of any other thing, to serve God. And they do that, establishing a memorial. It's not to honor them. May I be clear today? It's to honor God, you see. For you ask, what makes people do these kind of things? What compels a man to go to church every time the doors are open? What is it that drives a person to love God this way? Brother, it's the God that they serve. It's the one that lives in them that makes them want to live for him. And for this, we establish these stones. May I say to you, or ask you a question this morning, what are you leaving behind? What legacy is it that you're leaving behind for your children, your grandchildren, for their children, should God tarry his coming? When they think about you, what will they say? Truth be told, in 50 years from now, nobody will remember my name. Right? But there'll be a few, right, that'll stumble across a marker up in this field. And they'll say, who was that? Reverend so-and-so. Looks like maybe he preached here a time or two. What does this mean? Oh, that we could leave something behind greater than a marker over a grave. That we could leave something behind. Me and Alfred was going down the road the other day, and I'd never met B. Howard, but I'd heard about him. It wasn't a testament to the man. It was a testament to his God. Amen. Alfred remembered him, his grandfather, right? Alfred remembered him. He said every time church time come around, didn't matter if there was a yard full of people, he'd say, come go with me to the meeting. And whether they did or didn't, he set out walking from Jericho Road and showed up here. You say, why? Because he loved his God. He loved Jesus. And every day that he obeyed God, and every day that he served God, every day that he put his mind to serving the one who had saved him from his sin, he established a memorial, not for himself, but for his God. What God told Joshua was, each man is to take a stone, a big one, a rock that's not easily moved. Take this big rock, and he said, I want you to carry it. Put it on your shoulder. Carry that thing all the way to the place where you're going to lodge tonight. And there, the Bible tells us that old Joshua, he pitched them all together and he built a monument, a memorial. That every time that any of their children come by and saw that structure, they would say to themselves, what does this mean? And their fathers was going to be able to tell them what it meant. That there was a day when your forefathers got to this place, that God held the water back and they crossed it on dry ground. And their fathers would tell their children, and then them children would become fathers, and they would tell their children, and then so on and so on. And what the Bible said in verse number 24, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. I believe there ought to be a memorial that's established in our faithfulness to God, each one of us, to grab hold of those stones. I'll tell you, they're heavy. I'll tell you, they're not something that's easy to bear. It'll cost you. It'll bring you to that place of ultimate sacrifice. It'll cost everything if you're going to serve God. But it's worth it today to bring glory to God, to establish something that'll last forever. Something that'll go on. We think about all of the things that we can do. I can assure you today, providing your children a large inheritance is not necessarily the most prized possession. Right? In most circumstances, they'll simply, it'll corrupt most. It's not really even good for them. But here's what I do know. My grandparents, I don't reckon, left me a thing. But oh, how rich I am. And those memories are in my mind. And it's very important to me that I shoulder that responsibility as the grandfather now, or the husband or the father of my own family. It's very important that every day I'm carefully laying down a stone, doing my best in that day after day faithfulness to build in the hearts and the minds of our children and their children something that brings glory to God. Amen. You see, the rock itself wasn't what was extraordinary. It was what it meant. Amen. And we think about the lives of these people that have gone on before us, people that we loved. My mind's flooded with them. People that were solid. They were rocks. They were pillars in God's house. And my mind, as I think about them, I rejoice over what they said. When you ask yourself, what did it mean when this man came to church? Some of them sick every time that they came. But they came because they loved Jesus. There was something in what they did that made a difference in me. It was telling me the meaning of these important memorials. Not that the men themselves were extraordinary or the women, but that their God was. Their God was extraordinary. You see, the purpose of the memorial that Joshua was to establish was so that God received the glory for it, generation after generation. Very important, I believe, for us to be mindful of what it is that we're building. Whether you like it or not, you're building a memorial for yourself.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what yours says to your children. I'm not sure what your children will remember about you most when you're gone. And if God tells you he's coming, you'll be gone for long.
Amen.
Won't be long. You'll be gone. What will they remember? What does it mean? What does it mean? Well, that's part number one. And I'll go quickly with part number two. Part number one is we have a responsibility every day to be carrying those large stones out of those wondrous places that God leads us through. Tell your story that others might know and be encouraged and share it with others that come along when you're dead and gone. Right? Do stories continue? Yes, they do. There's memorials throughout all of the Bible. Remember the woman that came to Jesus and broke the alabaster box and poured it all on him? Oh, how they thought that was a waste, but Jesus looked him in the eye and he said, "This shall ever be a memorial for her." Why? Because she honored me. She honored me. That was a heavy stone that she carried that day, but she forever set it down, and it has forever since then been a memorial to the glory of God.
Yeah,
you can do that. You can do that, each one of you, in your lives, but you'll have to make a commitment to shoulder it, to carry it. All the way out of the midst of Jordan, all the way onto the dry ground, and place it in a place that when your children pass it by, they recognize that there was something special about his God, her God. But that wasn't the only memorial that was built that day. Did you catch it as I read it to you? There were two memorials that were built that day. One was to forever be visible to all the progeny of all that those were there. It would be there. But there was another memorial built. Goes unnoticed. You say, how do you know? Because for the last 40 years, I've never noticed it. May not be that way to you. You may know exactly and say, oh, you missed one. I've never seen it until this week. I'll tell you, that excites me beyond measure. When God shows me those things I've never seen. God instructed Joshua, get those 12 men, and they're to get those big rocks, and they're to carry them out of here, and you're to set them up wherever you lodge tonight. And he did that. But there was something that Joshua did that God didn't instruct him to do. He built his own rock memorial, and he built it at the foot of his word. What the Bible said in verse number 9, I read it to you. The scripture said that Joshua also took 12 stones, and at the very place where the priest stood at the bottom of that riverbed, he built his own memorial. Wait a minute. Just as soon as them priest's feet touch dry ground, what happens to the water? It covers that thing that he built in the bottom of that river. The very instant their feet touched dry ground, the Bible said that everything above them, it poured down until the bank or the river overflowed its banks again. And the very thing that Joshua did at the bottom of that river was unseen by anyone else. The only one that knew what was at the bottom of the Jordan was God. I don't know about you, but I've got a spot. Sam tells it sometimes about his spot. It got burned up when Kegley's Chapel burned up. But I've got a spot, you see, that only God and me know about. Amen. I can tell you where it happened. It was on this old mourner's bench. Same bench, amen, that I got. That's it right there. It's been recovered I don't know how many times, but it's a spot of all spots to me. It don't mean anything, you see, to nobody else. Nobody else needs to see it. Nobody else will look at this and think of that a particular truth. But may I say to you today, I've got a spot where I got saved. Down at the bottom of that river, Joshua wasn't instructed by God. Joshua felt in his heart that he needed to do something for God. And when they had hauled them rocks up there, he began to grab his own. And he grabbed 12 of them. And he built up himself a memorial at the bottom of that river. It's a place that only him and God knew about. And you know what? When that old water come through there and it washed over, after the priests had climbed out of there, I believe down in the bottom of the Jordan, even till right now, there's 12 stones laid one on the other. You know why? Because he had made a covenant with God. He had made a commitment to God. Let me tell you something. The only way you're going to ever establish anything visible to other men to see is if you've created your own memorial to the God of all glory. You've got to be born again in order to make a difference in this world. You can't shoulder these things and build things that bring glory to God. You can't honor God in these ways that are eternal and lasting for generations to come unless you first have built your own altar to Him. The Bible said, and Joshua also took 12 stones and he built at the bottom of Jordan. Boy, that caught me off guard when I saw that. That Joshua, he didn't build it on the bank. It wasn't theirs to see. It was personal. It wasn't God saying, you got to do this. No, it was all Joshua saying, I want to do this for you. I want to honor you, God. Everything that God had told Joshua to do, he had done. But then we find Joshua while he's standing there in the middle of that dry riverbed looking at a wall of water as far as his eye could see. And he began to gather up some stones. I've been trying to think about it in my mind of what was going on. The Bible said how there that he gathered up them stones. I can see old Joshua down in the bottom of that river weeping as he drug them old stones, laid them one on another, began to build something right there in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. He made a commitment to God. He made a promise to God. He sold out to God. Have you? Have you? Where's your spot? If I ask right now where your spot was, could everybody say where your spot was? Some of you got saved in a plant, walking down an aisle. Some got saved in a ditch, pulled over and crawled out of a car and got saved in a ditch. Jesus was born in a stable. Amen. A ditch is fine. Wherever you can find him, but you better have a spot. They may not anybody else know where your spot is, but it don't matter. All that matters is that there's something between you and God. That there is something real that connects you to God. Joshua built in the middle of Jordan something that they would never see again. For when the waters of Jordan flowed over that thing, it disappeared for everybody but God. And God still knows where Joshua's stones that was laid up as a... God still knows where them 12 stones are. Has he showed them to anybody? Huh? No? He didn't say, Steve, I want to show you something. Roll back Jordan and say, look down there. No, he's not showed one person that I'm aware of. You know why? Because it wasn't between nobody but Joshua and God. Have you got that kind of relationship? Have you got that kind of thing in your life? Can you say, I've got a spot that just me and God know for sure what happened? I've got a place that I can take you to, that I can show you where Jesus came into my heart. Amen. Have you got one of them? Joshua did. I don't know about you, but I think with great fondness of my spot. I do. I've shared my testimony many times. And you know it probably as good as I do. But you just don't know the spot I got in. Say, preacher, I got saved right there on that same altar. But my spot's different than yours. I mean, I could tell your testimony because I've heard many of you tell it and I know it. And I treasure yours too. But it ain't mine. It ain't mine. What makes yours good to me is because I got one. Ain't nobody could see it but me and God. But I want to make it clear to all who hear me today that I've been born again. I've been to Calvary and I have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have been made a new creature. He has made me His own. I've got a spot. What about you? Have you got a spot? We've all got a responsibility, men and women of faith, to build those things. The people will see generation after generation after generation. Truth is, Alfred, 50 years from now, the name B. Howard may not be known to anyone at all, even the stories. A man is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. Just like the flower of the field, it quickly fades away and is gone. You know why? Because this earth ain't about me. And it ain't about you. It's about the God that we serve. And all of the things that we establish as a memorial for our people, to tell them about Jesus, to tell them about His love, none of that is effective unless you have your own spot at the bottom of the river that nobody else knows but you and Him. Come and get a song. The memorials of this world rarely ever even mention the person that designed it. Why? Because that's not the purpose of a memorial. It's not to mention the attributes of a designer that created the memorial. It's meant to represent something that was bigger than the memorial itself. Do we know any of the names of the 12 men that toted them rocks, them heavy boulders on their shoulder up out of the bottom of that river? Not one. The only thing we do know is that it was in Gilgal where they spent the night that Joshua even pitched them together and built a memorial. And God told him to do that. Does it tell us what the memorial looked like? No. Was that important? No. What was important was that when someone saw it, they would ask, "What does this mean?" And I don't know whether I've passed or failed in this. Suppose I'll find out when I get there. But oh, how sad to get to heaven and hear Him say, "You left nothing behind to lead Him to me." To hear Him say, "You wasted all them years working for some company instead of loving me in a way that would influence your children and then their children and their children." To hear the Lord say, "You never carried not one big rock out of the river for me." What a pain
above all suffering, to know that He redeemed me and took me into His heaven, and that I left nothing behind to lead my own. I don't know. I don't know if I've passed or failed. I really don't. But I hope I've left something. That if I leave today, right? My grandchildren, they ain't old enough to really remember me, right? If I left today, they'd have maybe the vaguest of memories. But I'd like to hope one day that one of them will pick up this old Bible. Maybe one of my children will say, I'm going to give this to you. And they'll see that stuff in there. And they'll look at their dad and they'll say, what does that mean? What does that mean? And he could tell them. And then they'll grow up one day and they'll have children of their own. They'll say, you didn't know him, but your great-great-grandpa, this was his. And it's yours. They may never pick it up. But if they do, I'd like to know there was something left behind that don't tell about me. But it tells them where my treasure was. It tells them that my hope was not in this world, but it was in Jesus. That's a stone. That's something that'll point into Jesus. I don't know whether I passed or failed, and I'm still trying, and I hope you are too. But you won't accomplish anything of that nature until you first built your own spot at the bottom of the river that only you and God know about. Until you're His, you can't work on a memorial for Him. And I'll encourage you today, if you're lost, maybe you're not right with God and you know you need to get right. You need to quit wasting time. Because every day that goes by is a stone missing from that thing you're trying to build to the glory of God. Don't waste another day. Get your heart right with God and get at it. And let's start trying to lift Jesus up so others might know Him. As we stand and sing, invitation for you today is just to come. To repent. Get right with God. Settle it in your heart that you're ready to meet Him.